The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by GoToMyPC, providing fast, easy, and secure access to your PC from any web browser. Access emails, files, programs, and network resources from home, the road, or anywhere there's an internet connection. Setup takes just minutes. Try it free. Visit gotomypc.com/stuff.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. That's Chuck. Chuck Bryant. Josh Clark. Not Brian. I'm Josh.
Right. We've got some listener mail claiming that Josh is Brian. Not true.
At least they got the spelling of your last name almost correct without the T. I think they use the Y generally. Brian.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so it's not Chuck and Brian. It's Chuck Bryan and Josh Clark.
Bryant.
That's what I said.
Sure.
Lighten up,
that's
Chuck.
That's neither here nor there.
No, it's not. What is here and what is there is intercessory prayer.
Wow. That's a leap. I like it, though.
It is. Do you like that segue? It's like a bull in a china shop. Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Chuck, I don't know how you feel about this, but there have been studies on prayer, right?
Sure.
And actually, people who pray, who pray for themselves, for others, but who spend a significant amount of time praying, you could also call it meditating.
Sure.
They actually lead healthier lives. Did you know this?
I did. I read your article.
Okay.
A lot of good info in there.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, because this is something that I was aware of before I wrote this article. And it was really interesting to see how it's been studied. But I was aware that people have been studying it. But to find, you know, what the methodologies were like and what the results were.
Exactly.
I mean, were you aware that prayer healed? Is that something that you would have accepted before you read this article? Or?
Well, you know, I grew up in the church, in the Christian church. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's grown up in church or has been to church like that knows that prayer is very central.
Mm-hmm.
It's the personal conversation that you have with God.
Right.
And so... Yeah, you're taught from early on that prayer makes a big, big difference.
Right. And it actually does have a physiological difference.
Right.
Is that taught as well, or is this just a happy byproduct?
No. In my church, it wasn't, at least. They just said that's how you get results.
I got you. Okay. Well, speaking of results, there have been studies that have evaluated people, examined people who pray a lot, and they tend to have lower blood pressure. They have, they live longer. Their heart rate is generally slower.
Right.
They're a little more laid back physiologically than someone who doesn't pray. And there's been some explanations for it.
Well, yeah, I know one that I think makes a big difference is many people who are in fact religious probably tend to lead healthier, cleaner lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Issue things like alcohol and smoking and. Other things that can lead
avoiding
to
prostitutes. That's a big one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that might have a lot to do with it personally.
It definitely does. But we're not the only ones who've thought of that. Other people have as well and explained it away with that. So there's been follow-up studies that took all those factors into account, and they still found that people who pray tend to be healthier.
True.
My theory is that you're meditating. When you pray, you're meditating. You're entering a transcendental state, a meditative state. So you're just more relaxed.
Right.
And I think if you do that enough times, your body learns to relax.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I think. Okay, so there's not a lot of people who are, I guess, debating whether or not prayer has an effect on the person who's praying. What is really contentious is whether or not praying can have an effect on anyone else or anything else in the universe.
Right. And
this is where we get into the real sticky discussion.
Yeah, it is sticky.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I know growing up, as I said, in the Christian faith, they would often tell us if a family member, a distant family member of anyone in the church were sick,
sure,
they would call upon the church to pray for them.
What do they call those things? Prayer lists or
prayer shout-outs, requests?
Prayer shout-outs.
I don't remember.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember, to be honest. But they would prayer requests for people to keep them in their hearts and minds.
Sure, yeah. And you could actually call in and leave, like, a voicemail, and then you get added to the list, right?
No, I don't know anything about that.
I'm pretty sure I've seen phone numbers, like prayer hotlines.
Oh, okay.
I kid you not.
No, I believe it.
Okay, so you've got this congregation praying for this person. Do you have any anecdotal evidence, any story of somebody healing from that?
No, I'm sure that probably happened here and there, but I don't remember that stuff now.
Well, that kind of prayer is called intercessory prayer. You're
uh-huh.
interceding on behalf of somebody, maybe asking for them to heal.
Right.
Hopefully you're not praying for them to die. That could still be considered intercessory prayer. But for the most part, people pray that somebody's going to rebound from an illness or
exactly.
get over a streak of bad luck or mm-hmm. something like that. It's also called distant prayer because, you know, it's not centered on the individual.
Right.
You're praying out for somebody. And these have also been studied. You know, there's been some methodologies over the course of the last couple decades, starting with this guy named Randolph Bird,
uh-huh.
who's a physician. And he was the first to create this really groundbreaking landmark study.
Right, in the late 1980s, I think?
Yeah, it was 88, I think. And I think he was a cardiac physician.
Indeed.
He assembled, I think, 353 different people's histories, and he found people who were statistically inseparable,
right.
meaning that they were the same age, they were the same race, they had the same heart conditions,
mm-hmm.
they were on paper they were one in the same basically,
right.
And he contacted some groups, I think it was in California, where he got in touch with some different denominations. I think they were all Christian, but I think he got in touch with Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics and all that. And he had these groups get together in groups of three or four, and these people would have the name of one patient.
Right, their condition.
Yeah, and they would pray that they had a speedy and I think effective recovery, something along those lines.
Right.
And they prayed for him over the course of, I don't know, several weeks, I believe. And after the praying was done, the physician Randolph Bird went back and studied who thrived and who didn't.
Right.
We should also say there's a control group of people who weren't prayed for.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah. So. He actually found that there was a really significant difference, like a huge difference, actually, between the recoveries of people who were prayed for and those who weren't prayed for.
Right.
Something like 85%.
85% to compared to 73.1%.
That's enormous, statistically speaking. That's
huge. 12% is very big.
And the thing is there was no one who could explain away what happened. Bird's study has never been basically overturned.
Right.
The people who were praying didn't know the people they were praying for. The people who were being prayed for were you know, not they they. It, there's nothing you can say that says, well, this is what happened.
Right.
Because that's a huge statistical difference.
It is.
that got the attention of the scientific community.
Of course.
Big time.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden there's like a slew of basically follow-up studies that used Bird's methodology. This is the most beautiful thing about Randolph Bird, in my opinion. He used the scientific method. He used science to conduct an investigation into something that science doesn't believe in,
mm-hmm.
which is prayer,
right?
Intercessory prayer. And he created the study in such a way that it could be modeled. Like he said, here's how you do it.
Right.
And other people have followed the same model, and they have come up with radically different results, basically. Another pretty big study was the STEP study.
Right.
Which is the study of the effects of intercessory prayer. It was a huge study. It covered 6 different medical centers across the U.S.
Right. And this is published in the American Heart Journal, so.
Yeah, so it was pretty significant.
It's bona fide.
They basically broke these groups down into 3 groups. Those who received prayer but weren't aware of it. Those who didn't receive any prayer. And those who received prayer but were aware that they were being prayed for.
Exactly. Heart patients.
Yeah, yeah. So this study, it was, like you said, it was published in the American Heart Journal, which is a pretty big journal. As far as they go in this country, right?
Right.
They found that those who didn't receive prayer had about the same kind of recovery as those who did.
Right.
It was like 52% to 51%. And even worse, those who were aware that they received prayer actually had the worst results. It was 59% of them had complications after heart surgery.
Right. So this seems to fly in the face of the Bird study.
Yeah, it does. It's totally contradictory. It's also pretty counterintuitive, too. I mean, how would prayer be harmful?
Right.
And that's actually one of the reasons why people are investigating prayer, why it's become kind of a niche field of study, because it's not really, if people are praying, maybe we should find out if it is, in fact, harmful. Science shouldn't just be like, yeah, go pray. We don't believe in that, whatever.
Right.
There should be investigations into it. And this is kind of startling. 59% of people who are aware they're being prayed for had complications following surgery. That alone warrants investigation
right.
into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that STEP study was one of a number that have come up with. Nobody's ever come up with the kind of statistical difference that Randolph Bird did.
Right. I think personally, I'm a bit of a skeptic in life in general. And when I hear about studies like this, it's, to me, prayer is something that's hard to quantify statistically.
Yeah.
Because people pray in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
People pray for different lengths of time. I'm not sure how you could say that this solid group that prayed all prayed exactly the same in the same way
mm-hmm.
and had the exact same beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to quantify, if you ask me.
It is. And again, Randolph Bird came the closest to it. He told these people how often to pray, what to say when they're praying.
Specifically to pray for.
Here's the problem with studying prayer, is you can control these groups of people who are praying for these heart patients or whatever as much as you want. But if prayer is real, if prayer does work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got somebody else out there praying for this patient, it completely screws up the results.
Like the patient itself, were they told not to pray for themselves?
I don't know. I don't know. And how would you control that?
Right.
And would you want to control that? Apparently, prayer is the number one alternative medicine in America.
Yeah.
That tops vitamins and herbs, which is like a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Right.
And the best part is prayer is free, of course. But you can't control how much prayer. You can't say, here's 10 cc's of prayer. Let's see if it has an effect.
Exactly.
And you also can't control other people coming along behind you and saying, I'm going to pray for this person.
Right.
So it's very difficult to study, and not everybody thinks you should study it.
Right. And these are people that are being treated medically as well. This is not Christian scientists who, from what I understand, a lot of times don't believe in medicine, and they only believe in the power of prayer to heal.
Yeah. No, these were people who were being treated through modern medicine and were being prayed for.
Right. So you kind of like, I don't know, there's different doctors and different levels of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something you also have to take into consideration as well. You can't say that everyone was getting the exact same care and their whole life history and whether or not these people typically recover quicker than others. I mean, there's a lot of factors that weigh in here.
There are, but you could also make the argument that all those factors would appear in any study.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and prayer is just like this extra layer.
Smackdown.
Basically.
You just smacked me down.
Yeah, sorry, Chuck.
That's
okay. I tried to do it gently. But like I said, not everybody thinks that we should be studying this, right? And that falls on both sides. There's obviously scientists who are totally skeptical of prayer and think it's a waste of time and funding.
Right.
But there's also religious devotees who believe we shouldn't be studying this kind of thing either, that it's folly. That you couldn't possibly study something like God.
Right.
And one guy put it that studying heart conditions, studying the power of prayer, is basically like asking a composer with, I think, a quadrillion times the talent of Beethoven to compose the notes to three blind mice. Like we're getting so granular here,
right,
that we're missing the big picture.
Right. I would love to hear that version of Three Blind Mice.
I bet it'd be really, really good.
It would be too.
So yeah, ultimately the jury's still out, and I don't know personally whether I want it to ever come in. I think it'd be pretty cool, and I definitely believe that there are aspects of us as humans and among the universe that science either can explain under the scientific method or just hasn't figured out the right methodology to apply it.
Right.
Definitely don't think science explains all, and anything science can explain doesn't exist.
Right. And since my growing up in the church, now here as an adult, my belief is I'm sort of a to each his own kind of guy now.
Sure.
If you want to pray and you feel like it has an effect on you and your family and your loved ones, I say go for it. If you're a skeptic and you don't think that it does, then, you know, don't.
Yeah, and try to avoid the harmful praying, you know, where you're actually praying for somebody to, you know, become injured. That's just mean.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, come on.
So different strokes for different folks then. Fantastic.
Yep, like Gary Coleman.
All right, well, coming up, Chuck is going to tell you about an article that satisfies a childhood fantasy of his.
Indeed it does.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Chuck, what's the article then? That hold on. I love this. That satisfies a childhood fantasy.
Right.
It sounds so pervy.
No, it's not at all. It's, could I install a hidden passageway in my home?
Awesome.
And I think, I don't know, maybe it's a little boy thing, but when I was a little kid, just like hidden passageways and tunnels and all that stuff was just the coolest thing to me.
That's Edmonds, right? Edmonds wrote that, Molly Edmonds?
Yeah, the great, great writer, Molly.
You know, I have a hidden passageway in my house growing up.
Did you pull a book down from your library
to activate it? It was, we had a linen closet, and for some reason the interior of it was painted black, and there was a door at the back of the closet, and it opened up onto the steps going down to the basement, which immediately got you onto the other side of the house.
Bring out the GIMP.
Hide and go seek at my house was awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
It was very cool. So you can read that one, Could I Install a Hidden Passageway in My Home, and about 500 million other super cool articles on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.